Thank you very much, Miss Joyce. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Genesis chapter 37. There's so many stories, so many truths in this in the account of Joseph that are kind of hanging around the same thing and telling the same stories, but there's lessons I want us to learn. Anybody need a worksheet that didn't get one? Slip your hand up. Ooh, bunches of us. Bunches of us here. Hold, keep your hand up until they get there. There are lessons that we need to learn. And some, you know, there's a parallel between Joseph and Jesus over and over and over and over. There's so many parallels, even some little fine, minute things. It's amazing. And not only that, though, we see really how a Christian ought to live. And that is actually pretty amazing when you think about Joseph as flesh and blood, a human, a sinner, and, of course, Christ, the Son of God. And I think we often cop out, to be honest with you. We say, well, you know, I'm not Jesus, so you don't expect me to live like that. And we just kind of let our flesh have rule and reign, and we get our nose out of joint, and we just decide, well, I deserve to get my nose out of joint, and I deserve to get mad. I deserve to get to raise a fuss. I deserve to not like that person. I deserve to get back at that person, and all kinds of crazy things. And the world does that, and so actually we kind of follow suit sometimes, and that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're different. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. Now, fact is, you go through the Beatitudes there. It talks about a lot of things, but it says, how do you know that somebody has God in them? They've been born of God. They're children of God. They're peacemakers. Paul says we should by all means try to live peaceably with all men, as much as within us that we can. And be honest with you, again, our Christianity, whether it's real or not, shows the best when we've been trampled on. See, we say, well, I show my Christianity. Now, when somebody tramps on me, well, that's a different story. They trample on me, well, then I don't have to do that. No one expects me to live by that. Well, listen, what thank have ye? If you do well to those who do well to you, what thank have ye? But when you're persecuted, when people come at you and you they put you under, that's when you see Christ. Because when he was reviled not again. We're going to read a lot of scripture, but I want you to see some things. And you know the story. I'm not going to go back through the whole story. You know, but I'll bring a few things to your remembrance. Lord willing, you remember these stories of Joseph. But let me read here, Genesis chapter 37 and verse number 12. It says, and Jacob, in the land wherein his father was, a stranger in the land of Canaan, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brothers, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray thee, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose and also stood upright. Behold, your sheaf stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him but his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. Now he knew what he was going to get into. Listen, have you ever been in the, well, you have, when you were in school and the teacher left the room? And if there was a bully in the room and the teacher left the room, boy, they'd go crazy. Now he's going to go down to the field far away from the home farm. Dad's not there, mom's not there, just the boys who hate him. Now, to be honest with you, he's walking right into a hornet's nest, and he knows it. But Dad said, I want you to go down there and see how the boys are doing. He didn't argue with his dad. He just obeyed and did what he was supposed to do. And he says, Here I am. Verse 14. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron and came to Shechem. Now, frankly, why in the world would Joseph even care? Because he was more than just a brother who has been bullied. He has a fear of God. He has a fear of his father. There's an obedience there. Verse 15. And a certain man found him. Behold, he was wandering in the field. So Joseph is running around trying to find out where the guys are. Now, what could he have done? Can't find him? I'm going back home. Just tell him I can't find him. That's what some of us would do. That's kind of like you know, the first time you go soul winning, you go, well, nobody's home. Let's go. And no one comes, and then you ring the bell, that's what Joseph did here. He said he was wandering around. There was a man who saw him. What are you seeking? He said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. So he just keeps on going. Now he's still going into a hornet's nest, but now it's hard to do it, but he's going ahead and making the effort. Verse 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams. Now, you can keep your finger in there because we might come back to it. Would you turn to Psalm 73 real quick? With Joseph in mind, I want us to read Psalm 7. I want you to see Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Now watch this. Forgive me, but I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here. Truly, God is good to Joseph because he keeps on right. Can you see that there? Verse 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps were well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish people, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Now think about Joseph. They're always on my back. I'm trying to do right. No one's after those guys. I mean, those guys aren't even nice to each other, but they don't pick on any of them like me. I'm the one. They pick on me, and I'm just trying to do right. Have you been there? Verse 6, Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence cover them as a garment. Boy, they think they can do anything, they can get away with anything and do anything they want. And just like, I mean, that's just who they are. You see them coming. Verse 7, Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lawfully. Ah, here comes the dreamer. What can we do with them? He knew they were talking behind his back. By that time, he wasn't sure what in the world he was going to find when he got up to those boys. Verse 9, They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there any knowledge in the Most High? I mean, these guys are doing whatever they want to do. Their daddy is Jacob. He has the promise of God that came down from his daddy Isaac and granddaddy Abraham. But they walk around like, who cares what God thinks? They're just doing whatever they want to do. Verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, as I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. Why even bother trying to do right? Why even bother caring about them? Why do I care what happens to them? Why do I even bother doing right? I might just go ahead and listen. And you think about all that Joseph goes through. Sold into slavery. Serving Potiphar. Falsely accused. Thrown into jail. All the things he's going through. And sometimes your wife say, is this really worth it? Verse 14, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. They wouldn't listen to what I have to say. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. They look like they're on the top side right now, but it won't always be that way. Thou castest them down to destruction. How are they brought into the desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Now think about it. He's saying that all along. He's saying people are all over the world, all around me, trying to get me. They're trying to hurt me. And things just doesn't look good. But God is my guide. God is holding my hand. He will receive me to glory. Verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. I'll tell you what, Joseph had some stories to tell his grandkids and how God brought him through. Let's pray, and we're just going to take a little bit of time here, and we're going to talk about do right. Do right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your blessings. Pray that you'll teach us, give us your word and your wisdom. Help us. Sometimes, Lord, we kind of get so entrapped by the things of the world that all of a sudden we begin to justify what the world does and we start to incorporate it into what we are. May we not forget that you're there, you're holding our hand, you're our guide when we walk with you. So, Lord, ask for your Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Joseph knew his brothers hated him, but he went looking and searching for them anyway. It was the right thing to do. That is what his father has asked him to do, and so that's what he did. Joseph did right whether he wanted to or not. Now, the last time we were in our passage here, we talked about taking life as it comes. Times can be difficult for all of us, whether we're serving the Lord or not. We heard about all the problems Joseph was going through, and then it says that the Lord was with him. The Lord was causing him to prosper. Now be careful. Listen, sometimes we will equate the prosperity of God with the absence of problems and issues. If we equate the prosperity of God with the absence of problems and issues, then when problems and issues arise, and they will, we may easily think that God has stopped prospering us. And if we think, since God has stopped prospering us, and that the absence of problems is a sign of God's presence, then the presence of problems and the issues may be seen as the absence of God's presence and His blessing. Do you follow what I'm saying? The next question arises is this. Why do I not have the presence and blessing of God? See, that's what people say, well, I'm having problems. I must not have the blessing of God. Well, I'm afraid that the first thought of many of us is that the Word of God is a lie. Why don't I have the blessing of God? I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Well, it must not be true. Now, that's a lie. Sometimes we'll think the Word of God is a lie, and the thought of having the presence of God is just fantasy. The second thought may be that God has just dropped the ball on us. Maybe God has forgotten us. Maybe I have misunderstood the promises of God. Maybe there's some sin in my life that pushed away the presence and the promises of God. Now, that's something you should consider. But that's not always the case. Finally, when we can't seem to figure things out, we throw up our hands in exasperation and figure it doesn't pay to do right. And we just read that in Psalm 73. That's what sometimes we feel like. Now, we can either throw our hands up, or we could do what the Lord asks us to do. So we have a choice to do wrong when we're wronged. But I would not count on that making you to prosper. We will be being wronged and not prospering on top of it. Let me say it again. You may think you're not prospering because you're being wronged. That may or may not be the case. But if I do wrong in retaliation or in response to being done wrong, now I can count on the fact that I'm not only going to be wronged, but I'm not going to prosper with God's hand. We will be being wronged and not prospering on top of it. Many people experience being wronged and then they use that excuse to do wrong themselves. You say, well, why bother? If I'm going to be wronged, I want to at least be prospering in other ways during that time. Well, listen, that's right. Listen, over and over again, we see in this passage that God was with Joseph. We went through that last week. And that God made Joseph to prosper. Why was that? Because Joseph did right in spite of all the wrong. We do not get ahead by destroying our enemies and our detractors. We get ahead by obeying God. Now, I know I've used this verse hundreds of times, but blessed the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he should be like a tree planted by rivers of water, bring forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall. You got somebody say, well, you're being wrong. Maybe you should wrong them back. Well, that's listening to the counsel of the ungodly. Joshua says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We might be wronged, and wrong comes. But if I decide to do wrong on top of it, now I'm out from underneath the spout where the blessings come out. We will reap what we sow. And if we sow sin, for whatever reason, even if it's only to get back at those who've done us wrong, we will still have sown sin and we will still reap the consequences of sin and lose the blessings of righteousness. It's amazing how we can justify sin. We can even make vengeance for being sinned against sound righteous. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time on these. You've got a lot of points, but we don't really need to do any more than simply draw your attention to most of them. Number one, do right even when you're hated. Do right, even when you're hated. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Joseph went to see how his brothers were doing in the field, even though he knew that they hated him and didn't care if Joseph was okay or not. I know the Bible says, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. Why? Sinners hate righteousness. Righteousness is light, and light reveals truth. And so righteousness brings sin to the light, and where it is seen for what it is, people, sin hates righteousness. Do right even when you're hated. Number two, do right though you are persecuted. What's the difference? Hated means when you come around, they just don't like you. Persecuted means they're actually pursuing you. They're after you. I mean, they're making a point to make your life miserable, to hurt you. Joseph was sold into slavery. Matthew 5:11 says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Even when they're coming after you, do right. Number three, do right though you're not where you want to be. A lot of these things, it's just, you know, we allow the circumstances of life to kind of eat away at our happiness. And when it eats away at our happiness, we kind of justify not living righteously, not doing right. Well, they're going to do this. Oh, you know, I can. You know what I can do? Well, they did. Well, you think I can? And before long, we start becoming vengeful. We become disrespectful, even if, you know, just hurtful. Now, watch. Joseph was stuck serving in Egypt. Now, we really don't know how many years he served Potiphar before he was, you know, kicked out of the house. But the fact is, he was there for a little while until the point where Potiphar had given the entire place over to him. Now, you say, well, that's not so bad. But he wasn't home. He's supposed to be at home. He's supposed to be finding a wife and raising kids on the family farm. But he's in a foreign land as a slave. Now, you know what? It's amazing. We get ourselves into a situation. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a town. But we're not where we want to be in life. And all of a sudden, we feel like we can justify almost anything. Well, I have the right to be cantankerous. I have the right to be an irritating person. I have a right to complain. I have a right to do whatever it takes to make me happy. And before long, we justify things. I'll guarantee you there's been millions of people who said, I don't like life, so I have a right to drink till I'm drunk. I have a right to take drugs and try to escape. I have the right to sit in front of the TV and play video games, escape into a fantasy world, and basically run my life right down into the drain. I'm going to say you can't play video games, but people spend their entire lives doing that. That's what addictions are. It's an escape. And sometimes we say, well, I don't like where I am. But you know what Joseph did? He did right. And God prospered him. Now, he could have been a cantankerous guy that walked around with an attitude all the time. And you know what? He probably wouldn't have lasted too long in Potiphar's house. In fact, be honest with you, he probably would have been on latrine duty. You know what the latrine is? The porta potty out back. Listen, they didn't have indoor plumbing. Somebody has to clean the chamber pots. Somebody has a dirty job to do. Somebody has to take care of all that mess. Now, I don't know that. I just kind of brought that out. But the fact is, He's going to give that job to somebody he didn't give a hoot for. But Joseph did right, and God blessed him, and he caused him to prosper for Joseph's sake. And he promoted Joseph and promoted him until he basically ran the entire household. In fact, Potiphar really didn't know what all was going on in the house. Joseph took care of it. Because Joseph was found faithful. He was found, had a good attitude. He was trustworthy. There are people who say, well, I shouldn't be here and this is not right. So if I steal a little bit from my boss, I deserve it. If I don't show up on time, if I sleep on a job, I deserve it. Listen, you say, well, what does that have to do with God? God sees you because you're carrying His name. You're carrying His name. You are the testimony of His family. He certainly isn't going to put you up there as a shining example of what He wants His children to be. Joseph did right. We need to do right, though we're not where we want to be. Number four. We need to do right, though we are tempted. We need to do right, though you are tempted. Potiphar's wife flirted with Joseph and offered herself to Joseph. In fact, she threw herself at Joseph. Now, you know what? Joseph may have thought it was a good way to get back at his master. He could have. Now, his master treated him well, but the fact is he had a master. He was bought off the slave block. And the fact is, as nice as he has it, his life is not his own. Now, he may be living in the big house, and he may be the steward, but the fact is, he still has a master. He might have thought, well, you know what? Life is hard. I ought to get a little pleasure. I'll just take it. First Corinthians 6:15, I gave it to you. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 2 Timothy there says, flee also youthful lusts. Why does it say it that way? Have you ever been in a junior high boys' locker room? I was never in a girl's locker room, but my guess is there was some stuff that went on there too that probably wasn't good. Youthful lusts. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He was in almost kind of in position. He could kind of take what he wanted. He was tempted. What did he do? He fled. Flee youth for life. He did right. We can justify all kinds of things. Well, my wife doesn't understand me. Well, we're just not in love anymore. Well, things have just kind of gotten numb. And we can have all kinds of excuses. We think we got it hard. Well, my job's hard, and this is hard, and life isn't good, and when I come home, the spouse just rips into me, and this and that and other thing. Do right. Do right. Number five. Do right, though you're falsely accused. Do right, though you're falsely accused. Potiphar's wife retaliates against him because of unrequited love. Have you ever been falsely accused? I have. usually, when you're falsely accused, if you get all upset and retaliate and so forth and so on, it usually just makes you look like you're guilty. You know what I think we forget? God knows the truth. God knows the truth. You don't have to get all upset. You don't have to get all defensive. You don't have to go, make a big to-do about it. Stand on truth and do right. Your testimony most likely will follow through one way or another. Now, Joseph was falsely accused. He was put in jail for rape. And it was a while. But I'll guarantee you, if he sat there in jail with an attitude, decided he wasn't going to do right, he was going to be cantankerous, he was not going to be put in charge of the rest of the prison. But he was. And if he wasn't put in charge of the rest of the prison, the guys probably wouldn't have gone to him as a confidant. He would have had no testimony, no credibility, when he was called up to interpret the dream of the Pharaoh. Now, wait a minute. You don't do right because of the good consequences. You do right because it's right. You do wrong, you're going to add to the wrong consequences. But we do right because it's right. If there's any chance of something good coming out of this, we've got to do right. Well, I tell you what, when somebody questions your integrity and questions your truthfulness, your honesty, questions your motives, well, I tell you what, I don't know about you, that gets me. So what do? You do right. Do what Jesus would have done. Number six, do right though you feel trapped. Do right though you feel trapped. Years ago, I went out, my first college degree was at Western Maryland College, now called McDaniel College, down in Westminster. And I was walking across the campus. There were a lot of oak trees on that campus, and there were squirrels everywhere. And that was just part of it. Now, one day, I was walking across the sidewalk, and I was just going down one building to another. All of a sudden, this squirrel goes whoosh right past me, goes to the next tree, climbs up the tree, comes out on a limb, on a one little limb, and he was just out of reach. And he looked me square in the eye. I'm not teasing. He looked me square in the eye, and he hissed at me. And he's squealing, and he's hissing, and he's making all kinds of stuff, and he's flopping his tail. Now, I don't know what in the world I did. But apparently, I threatened him. Or her. I couldn't tell. But maybe there was a nest in that tree there somewhere, and that animal thought I was coming to take the babies or whatever. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I've never seen a squirrel so mad in my life. Be honest with you, he's one of those. I was expecting him to jump on me, and I didn't know. I kind of hightailed it out. It's crazy to be afraid of a squirrel. But you back a squirrel in the corner, it'll come out fighting. Sometimes we feel trapped. Sometimes we feel like we're backed in a corner and we don't have any other recourse, any other option, and we come out swinging. God knows where the corner is. God knows what you're doing, whether you're doing right or wrong. Joseph was sitting in jail for years. Now, he was in there long enough to work his way up till he was head of the rest of the prisoners. But even after he interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker, it was another 2 years. Now, he couldn't put on the calendar, okay, one day down, another day down, and we're in 2 years, I'm getting out of here. There was no light at the end of the tunnel. In fact, the day before he was called to Pharaoh's house to interpret that dream, it was just another day in prison with no hope, no way out, no future, all because his brothers sold him to slavery. And there he is trapped. What do you do when you're trapped? Right. Do we forget that God knows? This goes back to that idea. Committing into the hands of him who judges righteously. 2 Peter. Number 7. Do right, though others seem to have it better than you. Though others seem to have it better than you. The butler is getting out of jail. What about me? I mean, I'm the one that told him what his dream was. And there he goes. And here I sit. Why didn't I get that promotion? Why are they the ones who always get to do that? Why are they the ones that have the decent job? Why is it I can't ever find a job that doesn't pay more than minimum wage? Why? 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 What are you supposed to do when you asking whys? Right? That's what you do. You do right. Even if somebody else has it better than you do. Well, this... I feel bad for mothers who want to have babies and they can't. Good mothers want to have babies and they can't. And then some gal doesn't want to have a baby, gets pregnant, and aborts it. And how many ladies have felt, why? Why? I don't know why. Well, what do you do about it? You do right. God knows. Number 8. Do right, though you feel forgotten. Do right, though you feel forgotten. Have you ever been to a place in your life where you thought, I don't think anybody cares whether I live or die? I don't think even anybody knows I even showed up. I don't think they'd miss me if I left. I don't have any impact on anybody. I don't think anybody cares whether I live or die. Feel forgotten. I've seen people do wrong just so they wouldn't feel forgotten. To make a stink so everybody knows they're there. That's not going to help things any. When mother and father forsake you, the Bible says the Lord shall take you up. So, well, I know, that all sounds good religious talk. Well, maybe you've forgotten him. You know, in our loneliness, it's amazing how we become so self-absorbed. Everybody, almost if you're not careful, we think, well, everybody owes me everything. Now, on the other hand, watch me. We ought to make sure that we're making sure that others feel loved. And they have a place. Our society is so full of stuff. But you go back and these people who do these horrendous things, shoot up all the schools and the theaters and the shopping malls, and most of them feel like they're a nobody. And they're going to go out with a bang. We are somebody in the eyes of the Lord. And we ought to let them see that. But the fact is, even if no one else is doing, God is our Heavenly Father. We can cry, Abba, Father. We have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We have one who walks with us and talks with us and will never leave us nor forsake us. And when you feel forgotten, you still need to do right. Because we do wrong, we're just going to compound the problem. Number 9, do right though you feel like you're being used. Feel like you're being used. Am I hitting home here? I don't know where this is, one of those shotgun messages that if you haven't been through this, we're probably going to go through this. I don't like being used. Now, when I say that, I mean, there was a point in my life where I just wanted God to use me. I just wanted God. That's different. But when you feel like they don't care about you, they're just using you. You know, no one cared about Joseph until the butler decided he could get some brownie points with Pharaoh if he could find someone to interpret his dream. The butler says, "Hey, I got a guy." Pharaoh says, "I got a dream." He says, "All right, I got a guy who can take care of that. I forgot about him. There he is." Now Joseph has said to the butler, "Hey, when you get back in there, put a good word in for me. Would you do that?" "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Catch you later." 2 years later. "Well, I helped this guy and helped this guy and helped this guy, and here I sit." My guess is the butler wasn't the only one who ended up getting out of jail during that time. It was 2 years. There's other people who were probably released here and there. And there goes another one. And here Joseph is trying to help them through a tough time. He's helping these prisoners, kind of leading them. And then he walked off. Doesn't hear another word from them. Feels used. Forgive me. You know, you talk to folks. Now, I'm talking to the church here. This is a different group of people here. I mean, this is not the group I'm talking about here, but you preach, and they don't come to church, they don't listen, this and that other thing. Then something, their life falls apart, and they call you up, "Preacher, can I talk to you?" "Come on, let's talk." And I'm thinking, if they just heard my messages the last 3 weeks, I wouldn't have to be spending my time here, because I just discussed all that. I mean, 9 times out of 10, that's exactly what happens. And somebody pinched them or something, they decided to stay in bed, and they didn't get here to hear it. And I said, "Well, can we do it?" "Well, I'm not sure. Well, I can't do it then." "Well, when can you do it?" "Well, I guess the only time I have is," I'm not complaining. But I've many times. "The only day, any time I have is, well, it's my day off. It's Thursday, and I can do it on Thursday." So we come in, we do something, we meet them someplace, and we spend some time. I'm not complaining. I'm just simply saying. And so you help them out. It's the right thing to do. But they don't have time to rearrange their schedule to come in to hear the Word of God preached when the rest of us are here. They want a special time. "Well, this is terrible. Be honest with you, we ought to have something where I can meet with you an hour or two every week." I said, "We do that. 9:30 on Sundays, 10:30 on Sundays, 6 o'clock on Sunday, 7 o'clock on Wednesday, and 7 o'clock on Friday nights with RRU, and there's other things that scattered out here and there." "Yeah, I know, but I can't make those times work out. I want to be able to." Now, you know, I know I'm trying to be mean. I'm just saying sometimes you feel used. And what do? You do right. You do right. You do your best to do right, to accommodate them. Number 10, do right, watch this one, when you are given power and authority. Now, we've seen a lot of bad things. Now, all of a sudden, Joseph is now in authority. Whether it was as the head of the prisoners, well, head of Potiphar's house, or the head of the prisoners, or now the head of the country. He could have done almost anything he wanted as second in command in Egypt. Listen, he actually has the power to get back at the people who abused him. Listen, if Potiphar just throw him into prison, he has a whole lot more power than Potiphar did. He could say, ha, 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 Mr. Potiphar, it's your turn. Slam the door shut. Mrs. Potiphar, I know what you did. Let's put you in jail. He had the right to do anything. He could have retaliated if he wanted to. Get some retribution out of this thing here. He was falsely accused. He was falsely imprisoned. They used him for personal gain. That butler, you know, I waited 2 years. Maybe he ought to sit for 2 years. Put him in there for 2 years. I'll see you 2 years. So all of a sudden now, he has the power and authority to do something. What do you do? Do right. But they ought to learn a lesson. I think it's my job to teach them. You do right. I have talked to people who were married, and they think it's their job to teach their spouse a lesson. I've seen it go both ways. They think, well, you know, there's a problem here. And somehow or other, they kind of get in a position there and they want to teach their spouse a lesson. I'll show them how it feels. I'll show them what they should be doing. I'm going to teach them a lesson. They're not worried about teaching them a lesson. They're worried about getting back. So what do you do when you have the upper hand? You do right. And that gives me number 11. Do right when you get the upper hand on your enemies. Do right when you get the upper hand on your enemies. Joseph tells Pharaoh the meaning of his dream. And Pharaoh said, you know, I need somebody to run this thing without the 7 years of good. And then we're going to have 7 years of famine. That's a lot of work to make sure we got plenty ready for the famine. We need somebody who's got some thoughts, some wits about him to handle this. Joseph, why don't you do that? So Joseph spent 7 years gathering up what was needed to be ready for the famine coming up the 7 years later. And so there he is, and now who shows up at his door but his brothers who threw him in the pit, then decide to make 20 pieces of silver, make a few bucks off of him. And they show up. We'd like to buy some grain. Oh, would you? Yeah, it says right there, it's 15 shekels. Ah, well, that's for my friends. It's 100 shekels for you. What happens when you get the upper hand? It tells us what our character is. You do right. Matthew 5:43, you have it there. You've heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect or mature, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So the price of that grain, you boys there from Canaan, the sons of Jacob, it says it's 15 shekels. That's how much it is. We'll work it out here. Put their money back in their bag. It never says they ended up paying that stuff. Oh, he jerked her chain around a little bit there. But never said they had to pay it. You took care of them. Number 12. Do right. Just that. Do right. Romans 12:9 said, listen, watch, listen, follow it with me. Let love be without dissimulation. In other words, make sure your love is completely sincere. There's nothing questionable in there. Without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Now, by the way, when it says abhor that which is evil, well, that person's evil, so I need to abhor him. No, he's saying the evil in your own heart. That evil thought of getting back at somebody. That vengeful spirit that showed up. That self-righteous thought that it's my turn, I have the upper hand. Abhor it. What does that mean? I'm not touching it. I'm not getting near that thing. Whoa, no. Mm-mm. I'm not getting near it. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. What? Do right. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Doing right. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Giving to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. Do right. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. Oh, I got the upper hand. No, condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. I got this all figured out. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. But you don't know what they did. Oh, yeah. God knows what he did when he wrote that. Now, what are we supposed to do? Do right. Dearly beloved, verse 19, avenge not yourselves. Boy, you're going to want to. But rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him the drink. What did Joseph do? You know the story? He brought them all in for a banquet. He set them all down and gave them each something to eat and to drink. In fact, he set them down according to age. Of course, he gave the biggest portion to his little brother Benjamin, but he set them all down there. Your enemies hunger, feed them. They thirst, give them drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And again, coals of fire will melt them down. I'll tell you the evidence of real love. You want them in heaven with you. You'll go out of your way to give them the gospel, to love them to Christ. I think I've heard that. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God blesses righteousness. God chastens sinfulness. To do wrong when you've been wronged is just asking God to add insult to injury. And if we do right when we're wronged, God will still prosper us and bring us out. There's more in that passage, but we can see ourselves. And I'll tell you what, our society is so easy to do wrong and justify it. Do right. It's the right thing to do. Father, again, thank you for speaking to us this evening. Pray that you'll take this lesson, put it in our heart, and when we are tempted to do wrong, tempted to try to retaliate, tempted to try to get back or try to justify or make up for some lost time, and we conspire and we got our own thoughts, Lord, remind us just to do right. Heads are bowed and our eyes